And we're back with Blood Sailing America, where our answer today is PSYOPs and the health freedom movement continued with my special guest, Dr. True Ott and John Hamill of International Advocates for Health Freedom. And before we bring Arthur back on, I just want to say that one of our loyal listeners, Sheldon in Tucson, sent me an email asking me if Labo or Stubblebine have contacted any of us because he sent them an email challenging them to come on the show today. If they have anything to...
I'd love to have them on the show.
I would, too.
I would love to ask them some questions, like Mr. Ronson did.
Exactly. Okay, what did you want to ask Arthur, Dr. Ott?
Did I hear you correctly, Arthur, when you said that they were engaged in illegal activity? Are we talking Labo or just the Natural Solutions, or was it talking about Kodak?
Well, you were talking about cognitive dissonance, Doctor, and I do have your CD, by the way. I was very impressed by your presentation on cancer and the Rockefellers, and I want you to know that I have, looked at all three of you, and I am very impassioned to be on the side of moral conviction and right on these issues. Rima was embracing Codex, and I felt through the education I received by John Hamill, and I had always questioned the FDA on numbers of issues, especially since I caught them with corruption and malfeasance, that Rima was embracing this Codex issue, which seemed to me to be the wrong thing to do. She was wanting to see this Codex go through, and yet she was telling me that they were going to make some concessions and try and massage this to make it
really
palatable.
She was absolutely for Codex. She wanted to see it passed.
Yes. Oh, yeah, they were working. They were in Europe. They were going to these meetings, and I was unfamiliar with a lot of it at the time, but I'm a good listener.
Wow.
And so they were going to make concessions with Codex, and I said to her, because of John Hamill's information, I said, you know, Codex is wrong across the board. Why would you make concessions on something that would be viewed as illegal from the very get-go?
The whole foundation.
The
whole Natural Solutions Foundation.
I said, you know what? If it wasn't for John Hamill, well, being a federal investigator, I'm kind of immune to that anyway, but John really kicked that into gear for me.
Well, I would just like to ask you, Arthur, what was her answer to that very hard question? That she was supporting Codex, but just wanted.
That they were going to, see Codex through. And that they were going to try and temper down some of the wording in the documentation of Codex and how it would apply to the United States and our supplement supply and our health.
There you have it. There you have it, folks.
Wow.
There is the witness that we need right there.
Yep.
To prove these people, the whole National Solutions Foundation is to stop Codex in its tracks, to eliminate it, to get it to disband. To protect our freedoms. Now you have an eyewitness telling everyone that's just not true. They were supporting it and likely are supporting it covertly. Thank you, Arthur.
I'd just like to ask Arthur
my pleasure.
Go ahead, John.
I just like to a lot of listeners here don't know Arthur. Arthur, why don't you just say a few words about why you quit working at the FDA?
Well, I was going after two agriculture inspectors for conspiracy. The FDA didn't want to touch it, so I guess I became a loose cannon, and I saw that investigation through to the end by myself. I caught a supervisor altering investigative records and filed charges against him with the Inspector General's office. I subsequently resigned from the FDA and started my own consulting business to help supplement industries and herbal industries that could actually cure diseases, because I uncovered a lot of information while working with the FDA, and none of it was good.
Good for you, Arthur.
And give out your website, Arthur.
Yes.
My website is HTTP Quality Assurance, one word, .synthesite.
There are many types.
And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is PSYOPs and the Health Freedom Movement, with my special guests, Dr. True Ott and John Hamill of International Advocates for Health Freedom, and Arthur from Montana, who just gave us the smoking gun that this Natural Solutions Foundation is, in fact, a total fraud. And, Arthur, you got cut off when you were giving your website. Could you please do so again?
Oh, yes, doctor. My website is qualityassurance.synthesite.com.
Can you spell
HTTP, qualityassurance.synthesite.com.
Can you spell that S word?
Yes, it's S-Y-N-T-H-A, synthesite, S-I-T-E, .com.
Excellent.
And what we do is we help supplement companies and herbal companies deal with the new GMPs that the FDA enacted recently.
Well, that's very interesting, because that's what Attorney Ralph Fusatola alleges that he also does.
Well, very, it's nice to know that there's other people on the same side pushing the car in the same direction.
Exactly. Okay, well, I can't thank you enough for calling. I'm sure you're smiling from ear to ear, too, Dr. Ott, just like my digital TV's watching me right now, and I got a big grin on my face.
Well, you know, Arthur, it's a breath of fresh air. Let me just emphasize again, we didn't have this staged. He called in completely on his own accord, and thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. I was listening to you, and I owe all three of you a debt of gratitude for the education that you have provided me. And I have substantiated and validated every ounce of information, and I am totally on your side.
Well, thank you, sir.
Let me
just give a little bit of background history on how I came to know of Rima Leydow and her husband. Okay, I'm in a kind of a small cocoon in a lot of ways in my business and practice. I consult typically what I do during the day. Is talk to dozens of people through telephone, interviews, et cetera, for people that are struggling with health issues. And so I don't go out of my way to start, you know, throwing rocks. I don't do that, okay? But when I find something that really, starts to make my mind question a little bit, I have to take a stand. As you said, the DVD on the trial of the century, I had to produce that because I saw how big a fraud that this medical establishment is. And so many medical doctors just don't understand it. I gave that to a number of health practitioners who came to me afterwards and said, oh my gosh, you know, I can't change, but I'm glad I know this now, see? And that's why I did it. So I did the same thing this summer with information I just uncovered concerning the bird flu. Why is it that our government, since 2005, specifically the halls of the FDA, would come out and do unprecedented scare tactics to the point of producing a made-for-TV movie on this bird flu pandemic that's inevitable, according to them? It's not a matter of if. A matter of when, according to Michael Levitt, head of the FDA, okay? Now, wait a minute. That doesn't make sense, knowing what I know about viral pathogens. And here's what I do know, okay? The 1918 pandemic was caused by vaccinations. That's right, folks. It didn't happen by natural selection. Now, I refer you to the video called Killer Flu. You can order that from PBS.org. It's a PBS presentation, a well-done, hour-long documentary called The Killer Flu, talking about the 1918 virus. What you'll learn from that video is this, okay? In 1916, when we were mobilizing and into 1917, and entering into the Great War, World War I, for the first time in our history, certain powerful politicians, legislators, made it mandatory, with a capital M, mandatory for all servicemen going into battle to be vaccinated. First time it ever happened. Okay, a man named Charles Higgins in 1920 wrote a book called The Horrors of Vaccination. that he wrote specifically as a case history to give to President Wilson to say, stop this mandatory injection of our servicemen. It's killing them. You got to get this book called The Horrors of Vaccination to understand this. What was going on, folks? The vaccine was a typhus fever vaccine. The typhus fever, I came to my research to find out, was incubated from bovine infected sores, cattle that were infected, transferred into pigs as the host. Then the sores were transferred into a chicken albumin, a chicken virus, you see, became contaminated, which is exactly what happened in that mutation that caused this killer virus. Back then, they didn't know what to make of it. The science, the medical establishment says, oh, golly, this is a catastrophe. It's going to be a lumped into an influenza catch-all, okay? But the people that died and spread it were those that had been vaccinated by the Rockefeller cartel. Now, you can't come out and say that because, you know, really there's no statute of limitations for murder. And this is mass genocide murder. Okay? And you got to protect the pharmaceutical cartel that produced this. But here's the thing. It will not happen again, folks, unless and until there's another mass vaccination that's mandatory. And this is exactly what the Bush administration was pushing strongly to have happen. I like to think we stopped it from happening, but our tax dollars went to purchase 280 million doses of a vaccine from China. Untested, untried, unproven. Now, this is what I put out in a blast email to all of my people that I could reach back in June, July. One of the people that picked up on that was Dr. LeBow. I didn't know who she was. She contacted me and asked for permission to use my research. I willingly gave it. She put out a blast email to her people, and she said, I don't know who this Truot is, but he makes a good case. And she went ahead and explained the weaponization factor. But here's what was the twist. Here is what I really have a problem with. She used it to create fear and panic among her audience when all she had to say was, don't get a vaccine. Fight against the vaccine. And she then said, leave America quickly. Come with us to Panama. Buy a piece of our Valley of the Moon. You see the twisting going on? I have a problem with that because the reason why I did the research was to alert Americans to say no, to set up and fight against oppression, to fight against wrongful things going on in the government, not to leave the ship like a rat.
Exactly.
Stand and fight for America, people. Otherwise, this American ship is going down.
Exactly.
Okay?
Right on.
That's the fundamental difference I had, and I took issue with that with Rima. And I was told she told me I was being anti-Semitic. I was exposing too many names. It just happened to be what I called Zionist groups. Because the people funding this is American-Israeli connections.
Exactly.
You see, so why not expose the truth, Dr. LeBow? Why hide behind it and make fear and panic the rule and then leave the ship?
Well, she doesn't like talking about the Rockefeller family. If you go on namebase.org,
wait, say that
look
again,
up her
John?
Social diagram.
Say that again? Say that website?
She doesn't like saying anything bad about the Rockefeller family. If you go on namebase.org, look up Rima LeBow on there, and you'll find an interesting social networking diagram with the Rockefeller family very, very close to her on that diagram.
Hmm.
Very interesting.
Very interesting.
Very interesting. Now, a person is not anti-Semitic if they talk about the Rockefellers in this context. In fact, there's a group of Jews called Jews Against Zionism.
Yes.
That's an interesting thing in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps
yes.
Dr. LeBow should look at that.
Yes, because the Zionists are not even Jewish. But we're going to be doing a show on that in a couple weeks. Okay, I want
to. Some are and some aren't. Some are and some aren't.
Well, the ones who are promoting a new world order, mass genocide, and slavery, I don't know too many of those that are actually Jewish for real, but I haven't checked that out. But anyways, I want to get to some of our other callers. They're lining up again. Let's get back to Ken. He's on Skype. Are you back, Ken?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay. What would you like to ask or comment?
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
You're a little little soft, but just speak as loud as you can.
Okay. Well, first I wanted to say hello to all of you since we've talked by email on previous occasions. I never had the pleasure of talking with you in person, so hello to one and all. And I was extremely pleased by the information that Truat came out with in his article called The Sound of Silence. It's a theme that we have mentioned on my website in the past. I've been concerned about the mandatory conversion to digital television in February of 2009. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, yes, please give out your website, Ken.
Okay, it's educate-yourself.org. Educate-yourself.org.
Okay.
Anyway, True was nice enough to send me the article somewhere in mid-December, and I posted it, and I was surprised to get the response back from Ralph Fusatolo, which I've also posted on my website, and I sent a copy to you folks as well, because the information that True had presented is, as he said, is less of a slander type attack rather than a reporting of information that's widely available on the internet.
Right. Okay, we're going to a break. Hold on, Ken. We'll be right back. Back with What's Ailing America. We have Dr. Truat, John Hamill, and now Ken Adachi on the line. And Ken, I want you to continue what you were telling us before the break about the demand that you received from the Natural Solutions Foundation attorney before we went on break. You got cut off. But first, I just want to read two definitions from Webster's Dictionary. Slander, the utterance of false charges or misrepresentations which defame and damage another's reputation. Libel, a statement or representation published without just cause, tending to expose another to public contempt. Now, this is the scare tactic that's being used by these minions, but if you're telling the truth, truth fears no investigation, you see, folks, and that's why these things must be known. So please continue, Ken, with what you were saying about the email, and I got a copy of it as well. It's a demand for you to post certain things on your website.
Yes, a demand to post their position as well as remove any critical statements made about them in the Sounds of Silence article. Okay, so I'm a little bit surprised in so much that General Stubblebein and Rima Labau and their organization, National Solutions Foundation, is not a new entity to encounter on the internet. There are literally hundreds of articles and statements, blog statements, etc., that have been that have talked about these two individuals in their organizations already existing on the internet for a couple of years now, perhaps three. So we're not opening up a new campaign to slander these individuals. Rather, we are reporting on data that has been already posted to the internet by other investigators, writers, researchers, etc., concerning the true intent and background, especially, of General Stubblebein. Here's a man who, because of his high rank and deep involvement in an army covert operations, secret or semi-secret development programs. I'm talking about mind control programs, remote viewing programs, remote influencing programs and an entire area of remote electronic manipulation, harassment, and torture that is properly called psychotronics, because the people who develop it gave it that label, psychotronics, the electronic manipulation of a human being through these, quote, frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
That True had mentioned, that General Stubblebine referred to. So we've known for quite some time. There's an individual by the name of Al Bielek, who's been well known on the internet for a number of years, who began to recover memories that he had of participation in certain secret programs involving the U.S. government. One of them was the Philadelphia experiment, which took place in 1943 in the Philadelphia Naval Yard. But there's another program that Al Bielek was involved with. However, his involvement was erased from his conscious memory by a mind control technique in which they can erase a conscious memory and replace it with what's called a screen memory. Anyway, Al Bielek was involved in a project that took place in Montauk, Long Island. There's a underground facility there below Fort Hero. And the name of the operation was called the Montauk Project. It really grew as an outgrowth of the Philadelphia experiments, which took, takes, as I mentioned, originally in 1943. But to cut the story to a short synopsis, Al Bielek with others, such as Preston Nichols, Duncan Cameron, Stuart Swerdlow, were involved in the development of this program that began roughly in the late 60s and was progressing nicely, or let's say they were moving ahead during the 70s. And by around 1983 or 84, an upset occurred at that base. I won't go into the details, but essentially it temporarily stopped the entire operation. But most of the, let's say, the development work had already been accomplished, in which they learned how to use computers, microwave transmission facilities, and a special type of transmission of energy called scalar waves, which scalar energy is not known to the average physicist. Most of us who, learn physics in high school or college will be taught all about something called transverse waves, which is the typical up and down sine waves we're used to with audio waves and radio waves, etc. But there's another type of energy that was actually understood by Nikola Tesla in the late 19th century that could instantly transverse the length of the universe in a moment. It can penetrate anything. There's no such thing as a defense or shield against scalar waves. And the government has long had this information in their databases since the death of Nikola Tesla in 1943. They had all this information down pat. We have to wait.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I hear the music, Ken. Please stay on the line because I want to continue with this. This is amazing. What a great show. I'm so grateful to all of you. We'll be right back, and then we'll get to you, Keith, in Indiana. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
And we're back with What's Ailing America, where we have Dr. True Watt, John Hamill of International Advocates for Health Freedom, and now Ken Adachi on the line. And, folks, if this show doesn't show you the treason that's going on against the American people by all of these agents with everything they're doing, I don't know what will. But, Ken, please continue with talking about scalar waves, and I predict that this is going to lead us back to Dr. Stubblebine or General Stubblebine somehow.
Yes, I've made this bit of a detour to explain that mind control programming is tied in with the agenda here. And we have to understand how it can be affected from a distance. What we're saying here, what I'm mentioning here, is that this technology was developed in the 60s, 70s, and 80s in Montauk, Long Island. It's called the Montauk Project. Al Bielek has been one of the best sources to reveal this agenda. And if you go to my website, you'll find videos and various talks from Al that talk about this agenda. So Wilhelm Reich discovered in the late 40s and early 50s that certain frequency bands, it goes into the megahertz range, around 435 megahertz being one of them, which you can open a window into the human mind. It could, if the frequency is high enough, it can literally penetrate the human skull. And a person who's being, this energy is being directed to, can both have his thoughts read, because here's a surprise. I mentioned to you that scalar wave energy is instantaneous, travels throughout the universe, and they not only discovered this knowledge, this information, but are now using it to affect people within their mind. We think and broadcast in scalar waves. So therefore, the human mind acts both as a receiver of scalar waves as well as a transmitter. This is why I get emails from hundreds of people who are being psychotronically harassed and tortured. They're hearing voices in their heads, and they can have communication with the manipulators who are behind the voices. The manipulators can see and hear what these people are thinking and virtually have a conversation with them in their head.
Well, I would also like to just add to what you're saying, Ken, and this is what's coming out of my, a little bit of a preview of Sound of Silence 2. What came out of Montauk was research lab research done by, again, a Rockefeller subsidiary called Brookhaven Laboratories. Now, Brookhaven Laboratories had a man on staff named, with last name of Cederholm. Now, Dr. Cederholm in New York was instrumental in preparing the sound system for the Mormon Church's Hill Cumorah pageant. In 1979, it's going to date me, I was heavily involved in the Hill Cumorah pageant as a young Mormon missionary in upstate New York. I saw the massive van of, it's a semi-van that was brought in, with a big scalar antenna to going up to control all the sound speakers, the loudspeakers that were brought in by semi-truck. When this thing was operational, I witnessed the storm clouds around the Hill Cumorah break and form a high-pressure ridge. It would be storming, raining cats and dogs, not 3 miles north, south, east, or west. But around the Hill Cumorah, not a drop of rain fell. And that's another side effect, folks, of scalar mind control technology is weather modification. I witnessed it. It's still being worked on. And corresponding with a man who's friends with Preston Nichols, Peter Moon, I gave all this documentation to Peter Moon. And he basically confirmed it all through Preston Nichols and Swerdlow.
Wow. Okay. We're running out of time so fast. I just want to also ask you, Ken, if you could comment. During the last break, there was a discussion about General Stubblebine and whether or not he knows Michael Aquino, a known Satanist within the military. And I couldn't hear everything that you were saying, but I would like you to comment on that, because one of my listeners sent me an email that he was on another show recently. I think he was on Alex Jones, and a caller actually specifically asked him that question on the air, if he knew Michael Aquino, and he reportedly said he'd never heard of the man.
Well, there are, in fact, on the comments and articles that I posted under the email sent to me that I titled, quote, action, actionable disinformation, quotes, on that page. At the bottom of it, I posted various articles that I've been sent by other people. I didn't even dig for the articles myself. These were simply sent to me by various people. And one of them includes a statement that for a period of time that General Stubblebine has worked with, both, in fact, he was the The article states that he was the boss of Colonel John Alexander. Now, that's very important because John Alexander is a guy who, again, is supposedly retired from the military. However, he was at the forefront of developing what they call non-lethal technology. And I've heard him on the radio often. I've heard him do the Coast to Coast show with George Norrie. I think with Art Bell in earlier periods, in which he's promoting this idea of this wonderful non-lethal technology and how advantageous it is to the, you know, to the United States military, in which we can, well, there's nothing non-lethal about what they're talking about, and what is really hidden behind the curtain is the mind control aspect of these, you know, what they're trying to pass off as benign technologies. They're anything but. There's an article on my website called Mind Control, the Ultimate Terror, written by Uri Dalbenko back in 1999, in which he was summarizing the book that Bryce Taylor had just come out with that year called Thanks for the Memory. Bryce Taylor was a famous, well-known MK-Ultra mind control victim. Anyway, it's an extraordinary book, very revealing to the nth degree. However, he used this description of mind control as the ultimate terror. And trust me, when I read these emails from these people who are tormented by this this mind control invasive technology, with certainly Stubble Bean, John Alexander, and Michael Aquino have all played a role in helping to develop for the military. Aquino particularly is well known among victims of both Satanism, ritual satanic abuse, as well as mind control, because he is both a satanic personage and abuser of people, but also he's very heavily involved in the mind control game.
Yeah, he was part of Anton LaVey's group, Church of Satan. I mean, at least Anton LaVey is open about it. I mean,
Anton LaVey was open about it, right. And, well, Michael Aquino's in many senses is open too. He's hardly shrunk from it, but he, like General Stubblebean, seemed to want to do two things at the same time, during their career and post retirement, if we're going to call it that, from the Army. They wish to be very boastful, quote, of their accomplishments with these programs, et cetera, and to put their thumbs behind their suspenders and stick their chest out. At the same time, because what they're doing is obviously contrary to the principles set down in the Constitution, they want to pretend they're not part of it. It's really almost comical to see this dichotomy, particularly with Rima LeBeau and General Stubblebean. They both want to take credit for this work and deny their participation at the same time. So you see this really odd juxtaposition of thumping their chest and denying at the same moment. It's amazing.
Yeah, I'd refer the listeners to the book we were talking about earlier, The Men Who Stare at Goats by John Ronson. Specifically, I kind of want to get your comment. I know we're running out of time, but the chapter on page 141 is called The Predator, okay? It's an interview he had with, again, one of the 1st Earth Battalion's modern-day soldiers, okay? A guy named Pete, a martial arts expert, etc., he says, and then Pete produced from his pocket a small yellow blob of plastic. It had pointed edges and smooth edges and a hole in the middle, okay? Picture that. It looked like a children's toy, albeit one with no obvious means of being fun. This yellow blob, Pete said, was his own design, but it was an embodiment of Jim Channon's vision. Again, Jim Channon was the gentleman who worked with Albert Stubblebean. And it was being carried right now in the pockets of the 82nd Airborne in Iraq. And soon, Pentagon willing, it would be in the pocket of every soldier in the United States Army. This blob, Pete said, quote, is friendly to the earth. It has a spirit in it. It is as humane as you want it to be. The pointed bits go into people. It can snuff your life out in a heartbeat, and it looks a little bit funny. It is, he said, quote, the 1st Earth Battalion. What's it called? I, meaning John, the author, asked. the predator, said Pete. Now, what does he mean? What's he saying when he says there's a spirit in it? Let me refer the listeners to something called the djinn. You can spell it D-J-I-N-N or just J-I-N-N, okay? You can go to, there's a website on this subject called The Djinn, P-H-E-J-I-N-N.net, www.thedjinn.net. Go on to that and look, read about what the djinn are, what these spirits are about. Folks, if you don't think this is not a spiritual battle here, better think again. Read The Danger of Martial Arts and Qi Transferals. There's an incredible story here. It's called My Story, First-Hand Experience of Jin Possession. And you, when you read this story of Jin, or evil spirit, basically, interdimensional forces that are being contacted and worked into this equation, you understand what's going on with our special forces and with people like Stubblebine and LaBelle.
Exactly.
Okay? We're talking about demonic entities, folks. It's real. I'm telling you. Don't say it's not. Don't click your tongue and say these guys are nutty. It's real. Read the story. My Story, An Experience of Jin Possession, Utilizing Martial Arts, Qi Chung, Tai Chi, and meditation practices that is all about this New Age movement and Rima LaBelle. How clear can I get to exposing this now? Read it. TheGen.net. Isn't it interesting that the major religion on this earth that understands jinn, possession, and the dark arts associated with this is Islam, right or wrong? The name is Islamic. The Quran talks in depth about jinn possession, how to avoid it. I'm not saying that Islam is correct. I'm saying Christianity is my choice. But the Quran has a lot of truth in it, and one of the truths is exposing the jinn. Isn't it interesting that all of these minions want to destroy the Islamic faith? The jinn wants to destroy Islam.
Well, I just want to mention another thing that the people of the Islamic faith are well aware of is the usury that's going on with the people controlling the world, and they speak out very freely about that, and that's another problem that these people have with them. So,
you know, somebody's going to have to answer to the hundreds of thousands, if not a million or more, deaths of innocent among the Iraqi people, okay?
Definitely.
Somewhere in heaven or earth, somebody's going to have to answer for that massacre. Those are innocent people. They aren't terrorists.
Exactly.
I would agree. Could I bring this focus back to something here?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, I'm looking at a website. It's www.canadiansub.com/board.html. And there's a bio of General Stubblebine on this board of directors of Canadian Submarine Technologies Incorporated. It's an interesting bio. It says, Albert N. Stubblebine III, Major General, U.S. Army, retired, was graduated from the United States Military Academy, West Point, and served with distinction in the U.S. Army for 32 years. Starting his career as an Army officer, he had the opportunity to command troops frequently at every echelon of command. He was tasked with reevaluating the North Korean order of battle using top-secret reconnaissance data. He was so intrigued with the new intelligence capabilities that he transferred branches to join the recently formed intelligence branch of the U.S. Army. He attended the National War College and commanded a series of highly specialized units within the intelligence branch. General Stubblebine taught chemistry at West Point for 4 years and earned a master's degree in industrial chemistry from Columbia University, New York, during that time. He was selected to serve as a member of the Requirements Committee, which identified and created methods to implement the requirements of the U.S. Army over the next 25 years, leading to many of the innovations so successfully used in the first Gulf War. His commands as a general officer included the U.S. Army Intelligence Center and School, U.S. Army's Electronic Research and Development Command, where he developed the now familiar night vision technology, and the U.S. Army Intelligence and Security Command. While on active duty, he redesigned the intelligence architecture of the U.S. Army, for which he was honored with induction into the Intelligence Hall of Fame, and also restructured the Army Intelligence Training Curriculum. Upon retirement, he served as the Vice President for intelligence at BDM and ran his own consulting firm. With his wife, Rima A. LeBeau, M.D., General Stubblebine has been engaged in pioneering research on the use of frequency in medicine and national security, and is one of the two designers of Aegis, a major Homeland Security private initiative.
Well, that's very interesting, use of frequencies in intelligence and medicine. You know, this is just so amazing how this is all coming together. We're almost out of time. I want to thank Ken so much for his wonderful addition to the show. Keith from Indiana has been waiting so long. I just want to bring him on quickly. Are you there, Keith?
Yes, I am. Hello to all three of you. Very interesting show. I just wondered if the three of you had ever, are you familiar with the research of Jennifer or Jenny Lake?
I'm not.
I think
either
you're
of you? Why do you ask?
The name sounds familiar. I knew a Jennifer Lake that wrote a book, but I'm not sure if it's the same one.
Well, on IamTheWitness.com, and it'll come up as French Connection, Daryl Bradford Smith interviews her. She's got about five articles just going down the center column on the front page. Got polio then, now, and forever. She did all the research showing how really all medical research has been in control of the government. It goes back to two interesting names, the Flexner brothers,
yes,
and so forth. Now, the other thing, when you go to this page, at the top left corner, if you haven't heard the testimony of Benjamin Friedman, have you ever heard his whistleblowing that he did in 1961 and 74?
Yes.
No, I haven't, but, you know, I hear the music again. Hold on, Keith. We'll be right back after the break. And we're back with What's Ailing America. We could go on for hours. Unfortunately, this is our last segment. I just want to mention quickly that during the break, I went to thegin.net, and that website is totally black. There's nothing on it, so I wonder how long that's been happening. Okay, Keith, if you could finish up quickly with your statement, and then I want to just close with John and ask him what we can do now since CAPT has been passed to stop these minions from destroying our health. But finish up, Keith, quickly, please.
Okay, two quick ones. Well, that Benjamin Friedman testimony is important because he's one of the ultimate whistleblowers. He was friends with Untermyer and Rosenthal, who were instrumental in the Balfour Declaration, getting America into World War I. It was all about the creation of that apostate state called Israel. Now, when they talk about anti-Semite, what a meaningless term. If you go back to Genesis 10, you see that Shem had six children. I mean, you could have been of Elam, an Elamite. You could have been an Asher, an Assyrian. Abraham was from Arphaxad, by the way. But see, they brought that up in the middle 1800s, about the same time that Moses, Mordecai, Levi, Karl Marx, brought out the Communist Manifesto. Now, in the world, there's about 90% of Jewry are Ashkenazi. They're descendants of Japheth. They're not of Shem in the first
place.
Okay,
Keith, I just want to interrupt you because I'm going to be doing a whole show on this probably in 2 weeks. And I would definitely like you to call in during that show so we can go down that road because that is very important.
But
just finish up quickly
Go to Jennifer Lake, though, and listen to those audios and read her, you know, The Ruination of Milk, Fallout in Your Genes, and the Spanish Flu Comeback. I think you'll find it interesting. You probably want to get in touch with her.
Okay, excellent. Well, right. I just want to say this has been such an important show. I hope all the listeners will tell everybody they know to listen to these archives. Dr. Ott and John Hamill, we could do shows every week. It seems like the spider web just keeps getting better. But I would like to just close quickly with John. Is there anything that can be done now? What can we do to help you stop this codex?
We need to get huge pressure put on Congress to get oversight on the FDA's Trilateral Cooperation Charter. That's how codex is being ushered in to North America. Please get on my email distribution list at www.iahf.com and go to my other site, which is nocodexgenocide.com. That's NOCODEXGENOCIDE, nocodexgenocide.com, and go to the Take Action section.
I would also just like to say to stop empowering the imposters.
Exactly.
I mean, let's you know the real deal now. John Hamill is the real deal. the advocacy for health freedoms is the real foundation. LeBeau and Stablebine, they are disinformers, absolutely. Thank you, Arthur, for that information.
Oh, yes, that was the smoking gun, definitely. And we'll see what happens after this show. And I want to just give out Dr. Ott's website again. It's M-E, as in Mother Earth, M-E-minerals.com. You must get his DVDs, especially. He's got so much good information. But The Trial of the Century and The Bird Flu Hoax and that book, Horrors of Vaccination, Exposed and Illustrated. And copy these DVDs, folks, and give them to everybody you know. We have to get the word out to the people. If we don't do it, it's not going to get done, folks. Do not lose hope. Information is power, and the truth shall set us free. Thank you both so much for another outstanding show. God bless you, and we'll be in touch. Bye-bye.
Hello, my name